So good morning and welcome to Kadampa Center. We have an exciting day planned today in honor of His Holiness the Dalai Lama's 77th birthday. So that's why we have the throne up. And to begin the program, we will be bringing in a large picture of His Holiness to invite him into the Gampa for today's program. And at the end, we will do the kata offerings, and if anyone brought their gift on a piece of paper that you'd like to offer, that will be the opportunity as well. I'm mainly just going to address the logistics for the children's program real quick. When Venerable Lamo dismisses the children after the story, they'll go to their usual classes and have an opportunity to make an offering for His Holiness. And then they will line up with the children's program volunteers outside. When they come back into the Gampa at 11:40, they'll just go back to their families, and then families can come up and join the kata line together. So I think that's it, unless there are any burning questions.
So I'm going to speak very briefly. I've been asked to say a little something about our Tara statues that we have here. So if you'll bear with me, I want to go in the Wayback Machine with y'all for just a second. It was a fall day in Raleigh in 2003, and it was the very first time I'd stepped into Kadampa Center. We were in a different location, but for me, going in there was just a truly life-changing experience. Seeing all of the images and everything that was happening there really, you know, changed, obviously, the course of my life. And if I'd gone in and there hadn't been the images there, I think it would have been a very different experience for me. I know for me, having these reminders of the enlightened holy body, speech, and mind really, they help me work with my mind. They're just so important. So when Geshe-la came a year and a half ago with these 21 Taras for us, we had an opportunity then to sponsor them, and about half of them have been sponsored, so I rejoice for all of that wonderful merit. But we have several left, so that opportunity is still here if you're so moved. So I just want to take just a second to talk about some of the advantages of sponsorship. You know, by sponsoring a Tara statue, just like doing practice, you gain a closer connection with Tara and create the causes to continue to meet these kinds of teachings and practices in the future. So, you know, Geshe-la has offered us this wonderful opportunity for merit in so many ways, doing the Tara practices with the Taras here, being able to sponsor. So just want to invite anyone who's interested in sponsorship to find out a little bit more about it. I'm not really sure. Can anybody tell me who they should talk to? I don't know. Is it you, Donna? Okay. Okay. So if folks have any interest in that, please do pursue it. And thank you all. Today's going to be an exciting day, I think.
Sorry. Many of us will be doing prostrations, which are optional. You are not, you know, required to do anything. And Geshe Sangpo will be doing a short mandala offering, and then Venerable Turkula will talk a little bit about His Holiness's bio. And then we'll do the opening prayers and the children's story and so forth, because today is also Family Sunday. So let's just start. And we'll be reciting prayers, which are in this white prayer book. If you're sitting in a chair, it's behind your chair. If you're sitting in a pew, it's at the end of the pew. And if you're sitting in a pew, I'm sure you'll have to share. We don't have that many copies of the prayer books back there. And we'll be saying prayers on the first bay sheet, and we'll end with the prayers on the pink sheet in the prayer book. So while we're getting ready for the photo to come in, let's just try to settle our minds and get ready. Okay, so now let's stand.
I'm going to read the biography, but you say if there's anything I missed, okay? Okay, so I have a brief biography of His Holiness the Dalai Lama that I'm going to read. This is traditional on his birthday to do this. So His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama, Tenzin Gyatso, is a spiritual leader of Tibetan Buddhism. He was born on July 6, 1935. To a farming family in Amdo in northeastern Tibet. And at the age of 2, he was recognized as the reincarnation of the 13th Dalai Lama. The title of Dalai Lama began in the 1500s, and it was offered to the third Dalai Lama by a Mongolian king. Dalai means ocean in Mongolian, and Lama here is often translated as wisdom. So the title translates to Ocean of Wisdom. The Dalai Lamas are believed to be manifestations of Avalokiteshvara, or Chenrezig, the Bodhisattva of compassion, and the patron saint of Tibet. His Holiness began his monastic education at the age of 6. In 1959, at the age of 23, he sat for his final examination in Lhasa. He passed with honors and was awarded the Geshe Larampa degree, just like Geshe-la, the highest level degree equivalent to a doctorate of Buddhist philosophy. In 1950, at the age of only 15, His Holiness was called upon to assume full political power after China's invasion of Tibet. And 4 years later, he went to Beijing for peace talks with Mao Zedong and other Chinese leaders. But finally, in 1959, with the brutal suppression of the Tibetan national uprising in Lhasa by Chinese troops, His Holiness was forced to escape into exile. And since then, he's been living in Dharamsala, northern India, the seat of the Tibetan political administration, in exile. In 1963, His Holiness presented a draft democratic constitution for Tibet that was followed by a number of reforms to bring democracy into Tibetan government. The new constitution enshrined freedom of speech, belief, assembly, and movement. And in 2001, the Tibetan electorate directly elected the Kalon Trepa, the senior-most minister of the cabinet. In Tibet's long history, this was the first time that the people elected the political leadership of Tibet. And then last year, His Holiness completely relinquished his political leadership role in the Tibetan exile government, a decision intended to strengthen the democratic structure of the government in exile. His Holiness is a man of peace. In 1989, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his nonviolent struggle for the liberation of Tibet. He has consistently advocated policies of nonviolence, even in the face of extreme aggression. He also became the first Nobel laureate to be recognized for his concern for global environmental problems. In 2007, he was awarded the U.S. Congressional Medal, and just this year, he was awarded the Templeton Prize. His Holiness has traveled to dozens of countries spanning 6 continents. He's met with presidents, prime ministers, and crowned rulers of major nations. He has held dialogues with the heads of different religions and many well-known scientists, and been a driving force between the Mind and Life conferences, which encourage dialogue between Buddhism and the sciences. Since 1959, His Holiness has received over 84 awards, honorary doctorates, and prizes in recognition of his message of peace, nonviolence, interreligious understanding, universal responsibility, and compassion. His Holiness has also authored more than 70 books. Even with all these accolades and this recognition, His Holiness describes himself as a simple Buddhist monk, no more, no less. Today we're celebrating His Holiness's 77th birthday.
So now let's turn to the white prayer book, and let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra 3 times, and then say the 4 measurables in English 1 time. Sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now I'd like to invite, if there are children out in the audience, they're welcome to come here. Sort of helps with the flow of things, and I'll read the next the story. Okay. All right. Now, last month we talked about the birth of Shakyamuni Buddha, so this is a continuation of that story. So, as I said, 2,500 years ago, Prince Siddhartha was born, and his father was King Suddhodana, and his mother was Queen Mahamaya. And they were the warrior caste, and they were in the head of the Shakya clan. Now, King Suddhodana wanted Prince Siddhartha to grow up to be a great king like him, and he did not want him to leave the householder's life. So he transformed his palace into a wonderful pleasure place with parks and gardens and fun things and interesting things to do. And but around the palace, he built a very high wall, so he couldn't see anything outside the palace. And so he was sheltered, and he didn't know anything about old age, sickness, or death. And then one day when he was older, he was very curious about what was going on outside the palace walls. So he asked his father if he could go out and see what it was like. And so King Suddhodana told all the villagers and made sure that everything was all clean and decorated. Everyone had on their nice clothes. And then when all that was in readiness, he told Prince Suddhodana that it was fine for him to go into the city anywhere he would like. So he went out the palace walls with his faithful servant named Chana. And one of the things that he saw was this man was all bent over, wrinkled, with white hair, walking with a walking stick, and didn't have many teeth, and he could barely hear. And he said to Chana, "What's that?" And Chana said, "That's an old man. Everyone eventually gets old. No one can escape old age." And he was very surprised. And when he went back home and went to bed that night in his beautiful palace, he couldn't sleep because he was thinking about old age. And on the second visit, they were walking along, he and Chana, and he saw a man on the ground moaning, and he had purple spots on him. And so Prince Siddhartha ran over there to help him, and Chana held him back and said, "Don't do that. That man is sick. You and even the king can become sick like that." And on the third visit outside the palace walls, Prince Siddhartha and Chana saw four men, and they were carrying a stretcher, and on the stretcher was this man. He was very stiff. And Chana explained to Prince Siddhartha, "That man is dead, and they're taking him to a funeral pyre to cremate him. And everyone eventually will die. No one can escape death." So Prince Siddhartha went back to the palace, and it troubled him very much about old age and sickness and death. And he vowed that he would find a way for all people to overcome these things. Now, one day, and Chana were riding around on the palace grounds, and they saw a man with yellow robes and a beggar bowl. And he seemed very peaceful and happy. And Chana explained to him that was a monk. And he had left his family and given up desires for pleasures, and he was in search for freedom from world suffering. So Prince Siddhartha said, "I want to be like that one." And that very night, his wife, Prince Siddhartha's wife, Princess Yasodhara, had a son, and they named him Rahula. But even then, he wanted to find out the way to overcome these illnesses, sickness, old age, and death. So he left the palace grounds and became a homeless monk. And he wandered around from place to place and received teachings from different people. And for many years, he led an ascetic life, and he almost starved to death. And at the age of 35, he sat under a bodhi tree and he became enlightened. So that's the story. Okay, so now let's read the dedication verses on the pink sheet and the white prayer book. And we'll just read the first two stanzas. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. Okay, so now since the children are here and we're all together, let's chant some mantras. At the bottom of the pink page, you'll see Green Tara's mantra. So let's chant those together with the children 7 times. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Okay, now the children are free to go to their classes. If you've never been here before, we ask that the parents accompany their child. And the children will come back to the Gampa at 11:40. So today we're celebrating Compassion Day in honor of His Holiness' 77th birthday. And His Holiness is the manifestation of Chenrezig or Avalokiteshvara, and he's the patron saint of Tibet. His Holiness says, individual happiness can contribute in a profound and effective way to the overall improvement of our entire human community. Because we all share an identical need for love, it is possible to feel that anybody we meet in whatever circumstances is a brother or sister. No matter how new the face or how different the dress and behavior, there is no significant division between us and other people. It is foolish to dwell on external differences because our basic natures are the same. Ultimately, humanity is one, and this small planet is our only home. If we are to protect this home of ours, each of us needs to experience a vivid sense of universal altruism. It is only this feeling that can remove the self-centered motives that cause people to deceive and misuse one another. If you have a sincere and open heart, you naturally feel self-worth and confidence, and there is no need to be fearful of others. I believe that at every level of society, familial, tribal, national, and international, the key to a happier and more successful world is the growth of compassion. We do not need to become religious, nor do we need to believe in an ideology. All that is necessary is for each of us to develop our good human qualities. I treat whoever I meet as an old friend. This gives me a genuine feeling of happiness. It is the practice of compassion. So I thought that we could just meditate on that for a little while, especially because I forgot to do the morning, the early meditation. So just to settle our minds. So let's just do that, and I'll sound the bell to begin and sound the bell again to end this meditation on what His Holiness just said. So if you're new to the practice, all you have to do is keep your back straight. And try to get comfortable. Remove the tension from your neck, shoulders, back, and so on. You can close your eyes or keep your eyes slightly open, unfocused in front. And bring your focus to the air going in and out of your nostrils. If any thoughts arise, if we hear any sounds or other disturbances, just acknowledge it and bring your focus back to your breath. I'd like to do somewhere where a little experiment, or whatever you would call it, class participation. And I'd like to, for everyone to break up into groups of two, three, or four, not having to move anywhere, just the people around you, and share some thoughts about compassion in action in everyday life. You can talk about things that you've done to, you know, where compassion arose and you helped a situation, or something you have that happened to you where compassion was shown to you, or something that you've heard, and then make sure that each person gets a turn to speak, and then it can be something that happened at home, in the workplace, to you on vacation, or in your relationships with your friends or relatives, and so forth. And so it will be about 10 minutes, and then I'll ring the bell, and then I'll invite people to share some of their these acts of compassion, which will help all of us to bring that into our lives. So if you could just turn to the people around you and introduce yourselves and talk about it. This is your advice. That's all right. It's softer. Yes, it's kind of cool. He's left, hasn't he? I can't see.
Yes. So you don't need to worry at all.
That's right. All that for nothing. Yeah. Because we all want to hear all of it. So now I'd like to see if anyone would like to share any of these wonderful acts of compassion in their everyday life or something they've heard of, read, and if you would please raise your hand so Sarah can hand you the microphone. I know that there are lots and lots of stories because I heard a lot of people talking.
Somebody's got to always start this. 2 days ago, we have a community pool, and myself and our two kids were there visiting, so we went to the pool. There was lots of families because everybody's celebrating the 4th of July, so there was lots of families with little kids all over the place, probably, 30, 40 people. And all of a sudden, I heard screaming at one end of the pool, and I go running down, and a little bat had gotten into the water and was fluttering around the water trying to, get out. But obviously, it was not going to make it. And all the moms and all the kids were screaming, and it was like, oh, ick, a bat. It was just this horrid thing. And, of course, me, it's like, oh, we got to save the bat, So I grabbed one of the nets, and I ran around the pool, and it was like I was in the water trying to get the bat, but he kept kind of going away from me. And as I'm trying to save this bat, all of a sudden, all of the kids were, oh, we have to save the bat. And so they started gathering around and created a ring, and it became this community event to save this little bat. So we got him out of the water, and then we got him over to the grass, and he was just completely waterlogged and just breathing really heavily and everything. But so we were shading him from the sun, and as we got to do this, it became a lesson about let's look at him and how beautiful he is and the little fur and the wings, and he was stretching his wings, and the kids were all gathered around. It became this beautiful thing, and then they started talking, oh, we saved the bat, Mommy, we saved the bat. So I started telling them all these different bat stories because I have many. So it became this big community event, and when he finally got well enough and he flew away to the tree, everybody watched him fly, and the kids were all clapping and happy, and everybody saved the bat. So it went from ick, how scary and how awful, to this, they're still talking about it, I'm sure, that we saved the bat.
All right. And you can just keep passing the mic around.
Okay.
Yep, I can do
it. So hopefully we communally saved three dogs. I was out with some friends at an IHOP in Cary, and I kept noticing people looking out the window, and I was like, what are they looking at? And there was a pickup truck in a handicap parking spot, and he left his three dogs in there. He had left the windows down, but these were large dogs, and they were panting. They were obviously in distress. So someone was out taking pictures, and someone else, and, I got up to go and talk to the manager, and the manager said that someone had already come to talk to him and that he was going to take care of it. So he went and talked to the guy and said, you can't leave your dogs out there. Well, I have a right to, you know, come in and have breakfast. And he was like, no, you need to do something about your dogs. So, you know, it was wonderful to see that communal kind of response to. It wasn't just one person. It was a whole lot of people. And it gave me, you know, it did my heart good to see that people, you know, we're not the only ones who really practice compassion. And that, you know, people are willing to step up and say, you know, please be kind to your animals and not put them in this kind of danger and distress.
This is just a short one. A lot of times you're in traffic and you're cussing out the person in front of you who's not going fast enough, and walking fast enough is in your way and blocking the aisle in the grocery store, and of course they're old and they don't move very fast, and you're impatient. And then I remember my mother, and you know, it's like her, and I would, and all of a sudden my attitude changes, and I remember my mother's just like that. And I would hate if somebody else got impatient with her or got mad at her. So that kind of reminds me. And I guess it's like that with all the people. They're all your mother, or were at one point.
Good morning, everybody. So I've recently moved into town, and I moved in with this woman who had two big golden retrievers, and part of the reason I moved in with her is she's such a sweet person. I also love the dogs. And then she goes to me, can we take my boyfriend's dog for 2 weeks, because he was going away with his daughters? And I was like, sure. And for the last 10 days, I've had three big, you know, dogs in the house, and I love dogs. And then Friday she calls me and she goes, I have a friend whose house dog sitter fell out. Can we take this golden in for just the weekend? And she was all, are you okay with that? I was like, sure, why not? And I do want to practice compassion. But what I want to comment here is how, for me, I've been finding when I practice compassion, I actually really benefit from it. And so this fourth little dog, which is a puppy, has the other three dogs just filled with joy. And the four dogs are just a joy to have around. And I've just enjoyed the whole weekend. And so I benefited from this. And yet it came from my willing to be compassionate for whoever this person was who I didn't know, who needed their dog taken care of for the weekend. So thank you.
So there's several of us that are part of a group that that practices acts of kindness, and it's just a recent startup. But I was sitting there. I came from Colorado Springs, and so I was sitting there for the past couple of weeks watching as wildfires just ravaged my former town, and I have family and friends there. And you know, you see these horrific images of people, and you know, tens of thousands of people being evacuated from their homes and homes on fire, and you just feel completely powerless. Like, all these people mean something to me personally, and so I wanted to do something about it. And so I brought it to the group. You know, what could we do? How can we help? I thought maybe we could do something, anything. And what we decided to do was write these notes, these kind of random notes to random people. Didn't put names on it, but say, hey, you know, we're here in Raleigh, and there's somebody in North Carolina that cares about you and cares about what you're going through. And we want to get these notes out to people. But just like Lloyd was just saying, what's been amazing to me has been to see what people are putting down on these notes and sending to people, and the kind of care and compassion that's coming out of them, you know, to the people who are in need of it. And it's just been an incredible thing to be able to read these. You know, a few times I've cried over what people have written about people that they don't even know. And to think of what that ripple effect is going to be when those people, when we get that to the Red Cross or whomever to distribute those to people, and they just get this random note that somebody in North Carolina really does care and is praying for their well-being. It's just wonderful. It's been wonderful to see.
My name's Louise, and I recently, I don't know why, sometimes I question this, I had been out of hospital nursing for 18 years, and I decided that I would want to go back in at the age of 51. So I did everything I needed, and I got hired, and quickly became quite overwhelmed because a lot has changed in 18 years. My point with this is that I was shown a lot of compassion with my fellow staff workers, knowing my situation, and they were very supportive of me and, you know, took me under their wing and said, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. So that was a great instance of compassion shown to me.
Sandy's making me do this. So, is this too loud? So a few years ago, my first trip to China, we were setting up a plant in Suzhou, which was 2 hours outside of Shanghai. So I was there for 3 weeks, and at the end of 3 weeks, I had pretty much spent all the money that I had. And it was a two-hour taxi ride back to Shanghai to the airport. So when I got there, I decided, well, I'll just give the rest of my money to the taxi driver. I don't need it. He helped me out. It was a nice drive. I made it alive. So I gave him all my money, and not realizing that, at least at that time, to get out of China, you had to pay a tax to get a ticket so that you paid the tax to actually leave. So when I say I gave the rest of my money, I mean I had nothing, no American money, no coins, nothing. I had a new corporate card at the time, but I hadn't taken the time to set up my PIN number, so I couldn't use it to get money out of the ATM. So I'd gone up to the ticket booth and said, you know, hey, I don't have any money, what do I do? And they said, sorry, you're out of luck. Go get out of line, we've got other people with money. So I was just kind of shunned, and I felt odd, because here I am, I'm an American, for crying out loud, you know, someone's got to help me out. So I spent the next hour going around the airport, going to, you know, the security booths, the, you know, the different, I forget what they were, but the different agencies they had, explaining my situation, trying to get some kind of help, and I was getting to the point of, oh, my God, I'm going to have to start begging for money. I'm going to feel like a homeless person. This shouldn't be happening to me. And so at the last minute, I went up to the ticket counter and said, look, my flight's leaving soon. I have to go. I don't have any money. I've done everything. I don't know what I can do. And, you know, they were just looking at me like, this guy's crazy. Then two people started coming out from the back like security. I'm going, great, I'm going to end up in a Chinese prison. Never going to see my wife and kids again. And this woman next to me with a baby said, oh, you need a ticket? I said, yeah. She goes, oh, well, they gave me one for my baby for free, and I don't need it for her. You can have it. So just at that moment, it was the compassion that someone showed me to finally give me a ticket, it was just relieving, to say the least. But the fact that I was able to get that, and I was so happy, and she was like, don't worry about thanking me. And I followed her through security. I kept thanking her probably 100 times. Thank you again. Thank you again. So it was just to have that perspective, I think, of being on the other side and to have the compassion from the individual was pretty enlightening for me.
And yours is a good closer.
Well, mine was more to home, saying that since I've come to Kadampa Center, it's really changed my life. I've changed my outlook. I was married before, and I used to hold anger a lot, and I think that was part of my issues with my marriage, was all the anger. Now, since I've been here, I'm in a new relationship with a baby, and we get in arguments. It happens. People fight. But I let it go. I'm like, it's not worth it. And I've got a baby here who I don't want him to be in this angry world. So I just drop it. And my partner will come up to me later. He's like, how do you do that? He's still holding on to it. I'm like, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. And to see the smile on the baby's face afterward, just it makes it more beneficial. So I thank Kadampa Center because they've changed my life. And because of that, I've changed my outlook, and I bring happiness to other people. And it's making them less angry, and hopefully my little child will grow up being a really happy child. So thank you all.
So at home in my bathroom downstairs, I have a little book on random acts of kindness. And I love to read it over and over and over again because it seems like no matter how many times I read these little short anecdotes about real life interactions between people, they always keep touching me. And something that has really stuck with me from one of the anecdotes was a man was describing when he was a new driver. He had his dad in the passenger seat with him, and he was on the highway, and he yielded to someone who was trying to move. And the person who he let go then, like, flipped him the bird. And he got angry, and he said to his father, "I'm never doing that again." And his father got angry back and said, "Don't ever let me hear you talk like that again. You don't do kind things to be thanked. You can either add to the misery of the world or add to the happiness of the world, and which kind of person are you going to be?" So I try and remind myself of that. That's like a wonderful little, just short way of, you can add to the misery or add to the happiness. What kind of person are you going to be? And it keeps me going sometimes.
I was on my way here this morning, and I was on the Highway 40, and the truck was behind me, and I thought, well, I was not no rush. I'll just move over and give the truck a chance to pass. And when the truck passed me, it was full with pigs. And I thought to myself, I was so mad I could have given those pigs at least one more second to live if I just slowed down so the truck wouldn't go. But when we talked about this compassion, I thought about, you know, killing of animals to get something to eat. In my way, I was studying Hinduism, and it was a book called Karma Yoga, and it says, why would you kill an animal when you don't have to? And to me, that made a whole lot of sense, so I gave that up. And it's not that I don't like meat. I love meat. I could eat some meats three times a day, but to take their life is just kind of not quite right for me. But just before the bell rang, she was speaking about her son doing some compassionate things, but we had to stop it, so I'd like for her to finish it.
I was thinking about this, but I don't have the courage to usually get up and say it. But my son passed away in 1996. When he was in high school, a friend of his was wearing the Buddha's gowns, and Michael was intrigued, and they were in a band together. So anyway, he was exposed to the Buddhist way, and it did make a difference in his life. Later on, he made the journey of many young men going out to California and ended up giving a car to a friend. He delivered it to, and then he made his trek down to Los Angeles. And on the way back, he was hitchhiking and walking, and he ran across a young man that didn't have any shoes, and his feet were all bloody. So Michael took his shoes off, and he gave it to this man, where they fit, I guess, well enough. And then he went on the rest of the way walking and getting into San Francisco. He ended up in Dolores Park, if you know where that is, and I had made some velvet ringlets for his legs because he was a musician, and I put bells on them, brass bells. And so he was dancing in the park in his bare feet and enjoying the people that were there. And Lama Lodro from the temple in San Francisco was there, and he saw Michael, and he saw his bare feet, and he had compassion for Michael. And he brought him to the temple. And Michael loved to cook, so he cooked for the Lama in San Francisco. So compassion was all over that place. And I heard many good stories about that. So that's my story.
Well, thank you very much for sharing all these wonderful stories. We can try to recall them, you know, during the day, and try to give rise to that compassion. So I'd like to do a compassion meditation with Chen Razik that was on the website for the Compassion Day. So if you just try to assume a comfortable position, if you're sitting on a mat, it's best to have a cushion so that your back is higher than your knees and your elbows are away from your torso. Try to keep your back straight again. So Chen Razik is the Buddha who embodies the immeasurable universal compassion of all enlightened beings. He guards this world in the interval between Shakyamuni and the next Buddha of the future, Maitreya. We too have the potential to develop boundless compassion, and contemplating Chen Razik can awaken this potential. So generate a positive motivation for doing this meditation. Think that you're doing it in order to become enlightened for the benefit of all beings. Or you can think that you're doing it to make your life meaningful and beneficial for yourself and for others. Imagine while you're sitting that your mother is on your left, your father is on your right side, sisters and female relatives are next to your mother, brothers and male relatives are next to your father. Your friends are sitting behind you, and those you dislike are sitting in front of you. People for whom you have neutral feelings are around you in all directions. Imagine as many people and beings as you can, comfortably. Then visualize in the space in front of you at the level of your forehead, Chen Razik, the Buddha who embodies pure universal compassion. Every aspect of the visualization is made of light, transparent and radiant, like a rainbow. Chen Razik's body is of white light, dazzling like freshly fallen snow. His face is peaceful and smiling, gazing at you and all the beings surrounding you with an expression of perfect love and compassion. He has four arms. His first two hands are together in front of his heart, holding a wish-fulfilling jewel. His second two are raised at the level of his shoulders, the right holding a crystal rosary and the left a white lotus. He is sitting in the full lotus posture on a white moon disc that rests upon an open lotus. He wears exquisite silks and precious ornaments. Be content with whatever you are able to visualize, and don't worry if the images do not appear clear with all the details. The most important thing is to feel that Chen Razik, or whatever image you wish to use, is actually there in front of you, that you are in the presence of the manifestation of pure, universal loving kindness and compassion. Spend some time contemplating Chen Razik's compassion. Try to get a feeling of it. His mind is fully aware in every moment of every painful experience, physical and psychological, of every being without exception. He has no anger or aversion, not even for a moment, but feels only pure compassion, wishing all of us to be free of all suffering and its causes. He understands that we are helplessly trapped in the painful situation of ignorance and other delusions, and thus he forgives us for all our faults and mistakes. Look into your mind and check if there are any aspects of yourself that you are unable to accept and forgive. There may be unskillful, harmful actions you did in the past, or habitual tendencies you are unable to give up, or negative thoughts you are ashamed of and try to keep hidden. Reflect that Chenrei exceeds all of this. In fact, he knows you better than you know yourself, but does not feel even the slightest aversion for you. He completely accepts you just as you are, loves you unconditionally. This is because he sees your pure Buddha nature, and thus he knows that your negative qualities are transitory and not who you really are. Try to really feel Chenrezig's forgiveness and compassion for you. Turn your mind to the people sitting around you, in particular those in front of you, the people you dislike, and contemplate that Chenrezig feels exactly the same way towards them. He sees them all as completely worthy of his love and compassion. Now generate the wish to have in your own heart the same feeling of compassion that Chenrezig has, forgiveness, acceptance, love, and compassion for all beings without exception. Visualize streams of pure white light flowing from Chenrezig into you, filling every cell and atom of your body. The essence of this light is his immeasurable loving kindness and compassion. It purifies all the negative aspects of your body and mind, sickness and other physical problems, all your past harmful thoughts and actions, your habitual negative tendencies. The light completely fills you with love, compassion, wisdom, and all other positive qualities. Your body feels light and blissful, your mind peaceful and clear. The light from Chenrezig also radiates out to all the people and beings sitting around you, purifying their negative energy and filling them with bliss. Their minds are filled with positive energy, especially compassion and loving kindness. So while visualizing this, let's recite the mantra Om Mani Padme Hum out loud 8 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Chenrezig melts into white light, which dissolves into you. Imagine that your mind merges indistinguishably with Chenrezig's mind in an experience of complete purity, tranquility, and bliss. Invite the children to come in.
So what we'll do next is in just a minute the children will be going in, but we'll also ask that if you have very young children in the nursery, you'll need to go claim them instead. And if you want to get them after you've offered your kata, feel free to kind of slip into the front of the kata line so you can go through quickly. Also, a quick note that we've had wonderful volunteers here taking photographs this morning, and we plan to include some of the photographs of our celebration of Compassion Day and His Holiness's birthday in the package that is going to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and as well as sharing it with other FPMT centers and any FPMT publications that are being shared. So if anyone has any concerns about being in photographs that are being shared, please just let me know because I'll be organizing that. So for lining up for the kata presentation, we'll be lining up down this aisle, and the children can come on in and join their families, and families will come up together. Elise, would you open them? If you need to borrow a kata, we have some extras in the back. Jill, you can go ahead and send the kids in. And we'll be saying the dedication prayers while we're doing the offerings as well. That's a very traditional thing to do. So we'll read the prayer list. Venerable Lama will lead the prayer list, and we'll be saying the dedications as well.
Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom, the inmate who was beaten to death for being gay, Bill Bailey, Teresa Brooks, Mary Elizabeth Eiler, Adam Johnson, Charles Gregory King V, Tony Lipscomb, Marcella Lux, Donald Moeller, Kendrick Morrison, Michelle Moss, Sue Stevenson, Jonathan Tagle, Lee Ventura.
Sorry. The kids are a little confused. So we're going to go ahead and let them give their offering to the Venerable Kofi, and then they can go back to their families. Sorry, that got a little
messy. What are you doing?
Can you
get over there?
Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, my God.
Dakini the dog, Duncan the dog, Magnolia the cat, Sadie the dog, job search. Eve Ihara, Beth Andrew, Gary King, Daniel Cunningham, Jenny First, Michael Fultz, Kate Harvey, Andrew Johnson, Wendy King, Catherine Myers, April Rocker, Tony Sloan, Rochelle Thompson, Lori Todd, SS, Anna Dean Silver, and Sarah. Difficulties of body and her mind. Venerable Lama Zompa Rinpoche, Lama Pema Wangduk, Venerable Chirkula. All those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. The cellmate of the inmate who was beaten to death for being gay was also beaten but survived. Those, especially the prison inmates who acted with violence, were struggling with violent tendencies and homophobia. Denise Allen, Bill Bailey's family, Jim Barnes, Teresa Brooks' family, William Clyde Burns' family, Bill Burke, Ron Burroughs and family, Hester Clifford, Herb Cunningham, Allegra Dahlquist, Larry Davis, Carrie First, Mildred Gooch, Gertrude Garrett, Mary Elizabeth Extell Hare's family, Davis Helton, Lola Hilliard, Claude Hollyfield, Leslie and Joan Inman, John Eiler, Sarah Roberts Eiler's family, Kenny Jackson Buddy, Andrew Johnson, Bill Johnson and family, Sugia Jones, Susan Joyner, Helen Kasanoff, Charles Gregory King's family, Kathy Collar, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Tony Lipscomb's family, Aunt Lori, Alyssa Luck, Markella Luck's family, Carolyn and Granger Marley, Bobby Martin, T.J. Martin, Jamine Pandya, Lively Pasquay, Catherine Paul, Mary Peterson, Aunt Polly, Sarah Noel Quinlan and her family, Duncan Quinn, Richard Robson, Kenneth Roman, Reuben family, Paula Stable, Rosemary Cease, Evelyn Smith, Mamie Stark, David Underwood, Lee Ventura's family, Claudia and Vic Williams, Suzanne Williams, Pierre and Peter Winfield, Judith Wormser, Casey the dog, Ninja the cat, Skippy the dog. And now if you'll turn to the bay sheet in the white prayer book, it says at the top, long life prayer for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. It should be the last bay sheet in the prayer book. It says the long life prayer for His Holiness the Dalai Lama at the top. Om Svasti, O our gurus and your line of lamas, for whom we have the deepest gratitude, you who are the repository of the three secret powers of body, speech, and mind of innumerable Buddhas, who manifest in a miraculous way to each devotee according to his capacity. To you who are the wish-fulfilling gems, the source of all virtues and good qualities, we offer our prayers with intense devotion that our protector of the great land of snows, Tenzin Gyatso, upholder of the Dharma, the great ocean, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. The Dharma Daptu, the inexpressible reality that pervades all things like the heavens, immaculate, full of great bliss and transcendental wisdom, manifests like a cloud the numberless abodes of the higher divinities, the mandalas of the heavenly beings. To all the higher forms of the divine ones, the Yidams, we offer our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the great land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. O you numberless Buddhas of the past, present, and future, who are the masters of the 10 powers and teachers of the gods, whose attributes of perfection, free from defilements and born of realization, are the source of the Buddha activity that appears for all time in the ocean of the suffering of the world, for the sake of all sentient beings, to you we offer our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the great land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him their blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. O sacred dharmas of the three yanas, which liberate us from the sufferings of the three worlds, supremely calm, the jeweled treasure of the fully enlightened ones, without impurities, unchanging, eternally good, the peak of virtues, to you we offer our prayers with intense devotion, that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the great land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessing, that his aspirations may be fulfilled. O all you Arya Sangha, awakened and unsullied, of highest valor in conquering the suffering of the wheel of life, with the transcendental wisdom that directly intuits the deeper truth, never departing from the indestructible Vajra abode of Nirvana, to you we offer our prayers with intense devotion, that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the great land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. O you Dakas and Dikinis, heavenly beings of the three worlds, who appear in the highest paradises, the sacred places, the cremation grounds, who have innumerable experiences of the bliss of the void, supporting the yogis in their meditation on the excellent path, to you all we offer our prayers with intense devotion, that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the great land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. To the ocean of guardians of the teaching, possess the eye of transcendental wisdom. carrying on their matted locks the knot, symbolic of the vows they made to Vajradhara, the powerful ones who protect the saints and upholders of the Dharma. We offer you our prayers with intense devotion that Tenzin Gyatso, protector of the great land of snows, may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings that his aspirations may be fulfilled. To all you guileless ones in whom we take the excellent refuge, we pray with intense devotion, humbly from our very heart, that by strength of these verses, Nalan Losang Tenzin Gyatso, he who has power over speech, the kindly one, upholder of the Dharma, the great ocean, he who possesses the sea's secret powers, may be indestructible, eternal, and without end, that seated on the supreme, unconquerable throne of the Vajra, he may live for 100 eons. Pour on him your blessings, that his aspirations may be fulfilled. You who bear the burdens of innumerable Buddhas, with courage carrying on your shoulders the vast activities of the fully enlightened ones, working for the wheel of all beings like the wish-fulfilling gem, the jewel of jewels, may your aspiration be perfectly fulfilled. By virtue of this, may the golden era be open, like a gate to the great spaces liberating all sentient beings, coming as the happiness of spring which comforts our sorrows and helps the teaching of the Buddha to spread in all directions and in all ages, making it prosper to the summit of samsara and nirvana. O you with the lotus in your hand, may the nectar stream of your blessing strengthen our mind and bring it to maturity. May we be able to please you by practicing the Dharma. Through accomplishing at all times the good deeds of the Bodhisattvas, may we reach nirvana. By the blessings of the wondrous Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, by the unassailable truth of the spiritual laws of cause and effect, by the unstained power of this pure mind, may the aim of my prayers soon be accomplished. So you turn back to the first pink page. Let's start with the long life prayer for Gyume Ken Rinpoche Jetsun Losang Dalek. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhap on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savor myself and your disciples, please, please live long. And now let's say seven green Tara mantras for Geshe-la's long, healthy, happy life and his safe return to the Kadampa Center. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for everyone for sharing all their thoughts.